and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp, and I'm delighted to be joined online by the producer of Wrestling Resurgence, Sam West. How are you doing, Stephen, Sam?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so huge thanks for joining us this evening. So Sam's joined us to discuss his upcoming Wrestling Resurgence. This is Spinal Raps in Nottingham on the 3rd of March. That's a fantastic name for a tagline. So where did you come up with tagline?
We've had a few. So our first one, September, was Spandex Ballet.
Wow.
And that seemed to go down really well. So we've been kind of trying to live up to that ever since. Mm. So we had Top of the Chops in November. And then, this is Spinal Graps. So I can't claim responsibility for that one. I came up with Spandex Ballet, but... My colleague John came up with this is Spinal Graps.
Cool. So before we get into the event, I just want to ask a few questions about your fandom and a bit of history about the promotion. So how long have you been a wrestling fan?
All my life, really. So I'm 32 this year, and I got into watching wrestling. Well, my earliest memories would be WCW on ITV.
Yeah.
So that kind of period, I think I would have been about four, something like that, three or four, watching, I think it was WCW Saturday Night or Worldwide or something that was on ITV for a little bit in the early 90s. So really from there onwards, right through until sort of, I guess, the end of the Attitude Era, and I kind of fell out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was very similar, but I missed the Attitude Era. I stopped watching about 97 and then got back into it again 2005, 2006, 2007, around there. Once my son started watching it.
It's probably quite, kind of similar to myself, really. I think I got back into it. I'd kept in touch with some of the independent stuff, so like Ring of Honor, the American kind of indie stuff. And then I saw, I think it was when WWE, when Daniel Bryan had his kind of run to the title in WWE, that's when it sort of piqued my interest again. And that's when I kind of found out about sort of the more British based stuff that was on offer. So I think, like Progress and things like that.
Yeah, so who was your favourite wrestler growing up?
Growing up, probably Sting.
Wow.
Blonde Sting. Well, yeah, probably both, really. Blonde Sting, and then Blonde Sting when I was really young, and then the kind of darker incarnation in the late 90s. But then also people like Mick Foley in any kind of guise. Those would be the two probably that stick out.
Yeah, did you ever have any ambitions to become a wrestler yourself?
No, not really. I'd always been kind of interested in the sort of inner workings, I guess, of wrestling, but not so much actually wanting to do it myself.
No.
I've done a couple of classes recently.
Yeah.
When we started doing Resurgence, just as a way of kind of getting a feel for how matches are put together and things like that. But no, it was never an ambition.
Yeah, I think it's always worth learning how to fall in case you ever do a heel authority figure role or something, because you always kind of get hit by them.
We don't tend to. Well, having said that, at this point so far, we haven't had the need to get involved in that way. But it was useful in terms of when wrestlers ask you kind of what they want and stuff from a production aspect, to be able to have a kind of sense of how matches are put together and stuff is quite helpful.
Okay, so then you decided to start a promotion. How did that come about?
So my kind of day job is I work in an art centre in Leicester.
Oh, I see.
Mainly on visual art. And my colleague in Leicester, John, who also runs Resurgence, he does the same role but with theatre. And we made friends with an academic from De Montfort University called Claire, who's one of our commentators.
Yeah.
And she kind of writes about professional wrestling from an academic perspective in terms of like drama and theatre and things like that.
Oh, wow.
And she applied for some money to do a project at the Arts Centre where we work. And that became the first show. It was a live show that was had a kind of Q&A, so it was a bit of a sort of, wasn't kind of like a full wrestling show, it was more sort of a showcase of wrestling, I guess.
Oh, wow.
But it was everyone that kind of got involved in it, we just all really enjoyed it. And decided, this was sort of November 2017. Mm-hmm. So we decided to kind of give it another go. So we did another small show in May 2018. And then the company, after that one, it was like, okay, let's try and do this a bit more seriously and a bit more regularly.
Yeah.
And that's when we kind of really started the company. And that was, yeah, September was the first kind of fully ticketed show. And it's the first one that was sort of fully recorded. And you can get on demand and all that kind of stuff. So really been at it. We went bi-monthly in September. So we did September, November last year. And then we did one in January this year. And then, back in March, back in a week, you know, Sunday.
Did you find it, at your first show, did you find it difficult to let go of control once the show started?
Not really. I think we were all quite aware that with all of the shows, really, even now, the rest of the talent, the rest of us involved, are, you know, infinitely more experienced than us, and they've done this sort of thing over and over again, week in, week out. So we kind of defer a lot to their own kind of knowledge and experience, really. And whilst we're more engaged now in terms of developing ideas than we were then, we still just put a lot of faith in the performers to go out and kind of do their thing. We try not to tell them how to do their job.
No.
Yeah.
Just give them bullet points, they seem to like it.
Yeah, I mean, we're quite lucky in the sense that we've got quite a core sort of team of about six people, and everyone has the background in running events and things like that, different kinds, not necessarily wrestling events, but the actual sort of production side of things. Our ring announcer is also like a theatre maker. Mm. We've got a talent liaison guy who also does talent liaison for theatre productions. We're pretty kind of comfortable with that in that kind of environment.
Okay. When you bring in wrestlers, how do you decide who's going to wrestle who?
That's an interesting question, actually. For me, it's a lot about... we're quite, because of that kind of arts background, we're quite interested in characters. We try to be quite kind of character driven. So those are the type of people that we look for initially. And then it's about, I guess, how the match looks visually. Like, are those two people going to complement each other visually, or are they going to complement each other in terms of their style? Mm-hmm. Or equally, are they going to be kind of contrasting? So, like, the feud that's kind of been our main storyline is Cara Noir and Spike Treve.
Yeah.
Whilst they're both very different in terms of characters, they are kind of like fully rounded characters. They're not Spike, obviously, with his conservative leanings.
Yeah.
And Cara with his very elaborate theatre dance kind of persona. So that story's kind of defined a lot of the early shows. And a lot of fun stuff. Like we're quite into sort of comedy wrestling. And there's a lot of great kind of comedy wrestlers. And that's not to kind of like pigeonhole them, but there's a lot of acts like people like Gene Money. That can do, you know, matches that aren't too serious, that, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so how do you decide on what's going to be an ongoing story from show to show and what's going to be within a show storyline?
I guess we've tried to have like two or three things going on at various different points. So, we've been doing a little bit of a story with Candy Floss and Shikara. That's kind of been quite a slow build, where they started off as opponents in September, and then they've been tagging together. We created a team called Sanitarium, which is Jade, Shax, and Nightshade, and they've had kind of feud that's been bubbling away and will lead to this sort of street fight on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then there's ones like Carr and Spike, which was more, I guess, a slightly quicker, like it kind of escalated a lot quicker.
Yeah.
There's a few other sort of things in the background, like Charlie Evans and Kanji are having a kind of 2 out of 3 falls match, and that's a rematch of a match we did in November, which just turned out really great. So
yeah, I watched that match. It was really good.
That's more of one where it's not so much a storyline. It's more just like, well, both of them are really good. Let's see who's the better of the two.
Yeah.
We tried to treat the cards in a very much other view that wrestling should be a kind of variety show.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried to have like different things on the card. So at least one or two matches that are more technically focused are going to kind of appeal to that people that like that type of wrestling, like Kanji, Charlie Evans, and TK Cooper, Harry Singh, which isn't on our YouTube, but that was on the same show.
Yeah,
that was a really, really good kind of hard-hitting technical match.
Wow.
And then some that are more fun, like the Artcore match that we did in September, which was just really kind of silly and just look for a bit of kind of variety, really.
Yeah, so you crowned him Jack Setsmith as your first champion. How did you go about choosing him as your champion?
So we knew we wanted by that point to have an ending that felt like a kind of big, good sort of, what's the kind of word? Like send everyone kind of home happy, like have a big kind of moment like that on a show, because we hadn't really done that. We'd ended the September big show with Spike attacking Kara, so we wanted something that was a bit more like celebratory for the title. And Jack's someone who, a bit like Spike and Kara, sort of represents what the company's kind of values are, I guess.
Yeah.
He's a very good, he's very accomplished on microphone.
Mm-hmm.
His character's got a lot of kind of depth, and it's quite nuanced. He can do comedy and kind of fun and babyface, but also now, more recently, he's been kind of exploring his heel side and things like that. So he's a good character writer, good storyteller. That's kind of why Jack.
Are you going to have a defined men's and females divisions, or are you going to start having those intergender?
The intention at the moment is to be intergender.
Yeah.
With the title. So the Rumble match that we had was intergender. Charlie Evans was in the final three.
Wow.
And then was eliminated by Drew Parker.
Oh, I like Drew Parker.
So that's a kind of feud on the back burner. So that'll be picked back up. And intergender. I think we'd like to, if we can get into a position to be able to kind of afford it, we'd like to do like tag titles, maybe bring in like a mid-card title as well, and again keep all of it intergender.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, I watched I was at a show a couple of weeks ago, and Jade was in a Rumble and she got to the final two. It was won by Alexa Falcon, so they both started the match, Alexa Falcon and Jade, and got to the final two, and it was a brilliant story how they built it up the whole time. They didn't seem out of place at all.
Yeah, I think as long as it's done well, it's something I think that I'm not sure that I see the logic of it just for the sake of it. But think if it's done well, and it tells a story and stuff, then I think it's fully believable and really enjoyable. I'm sure we'll see a woman resurgence champion in the not too distant future.
Yeah, and it's something that British wrestling does particularly well, intergender wrestling, I think. The shows I've been to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the talent pool in the UK is so good, and there's so many shows, and it's quite close knit, and there's a big pool of people that have worked together a lot.
Yeah.
I think there's enough of a, like, ultimately wrestling is kind of relies on the partnerships of the other people wrestling each other, and there's a lot that know each other very well, that are good friends and can put on great matches, like Candy Floss, TK Cooper from Riptide recently.
Definitely
sort of stands out as one of the intergender matches that's kind of hit a really high level in terms of quality. So I'm sure we'll be seeing plenty more of those type of matches.
Hello everyone, this is the interview queen Alicia Tu, and you're listening to me on Broken But Glorious.
So as we mentioned, you have a huge show coming up, Wrestling Resurgence. This is Final Graps at the Nottingham Contemporary, is it?
Yeah, that's right. Because of our arts background, we try to use arts centres and spaces like that. So Contemporary is a really big contemporary art gallery, basically. And they have a performance space, which is where the show will be. So it's a really cool venue. It's really unique.
Cool. So I'll just remind everyone, it's on the 3rd of March, and it's main evented by your champion, Jack Sexsmith, against Eddie Dennis.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
What a main event. So, like polar opposites attack each other, sort of thing.
Yeah. And there's a sort of trainer, sort of student element as well.
Yeah.
Eddie's had an involvement in Jack's training as well, so. Be an interesting dynamic, and Eddie Dennis is making his debut as well, which we're really excited about. And then, other matches like Spike against Paul Robinson, that should be pretty interesting.
I was going to say, what terrible thing has Spike Trudeau done to you to deserve a match against Paul Robinson?
the Spike Trudeau storyline started at the last Nottingham show.
Yeah.
So he came out at the end, right at the end, and attacked Kerr and Awar with a chair and sort of ran down the hot company and ended the kind of our first big show by just running down the whole thing, basically, which was quite fun. So we've been sort of trying to get our own back on him ever since. So we gave him Jimmy Havoc in November, and which he dispatched, which was a great match. I definitely recommend looking it up on our On Demand.
Yeah.
Actually, no, that's on YouTube. You can watch that on YouTube. And then he had Kerr and Awar in January, and that was probably the best match we've had.
Wow.
On a Resurgence show, and that's on YouTube as well. So it's kind of it's time to try something different. And Paul Robinson is the guy that fits the bill. Fight fire with fire, I think, is the sort of tagline.
Yeah. Yeah. So you also have, I've only discovered Gene Money recently, but I really enjoy what I've seen him, and he's against the hardcore icon, Jimmy Havoc, so...
Yeah.
Why does Money put crosses across his nipples, do you know?
I'm not sure. I think it's a recent development, actually.
All right, since I've seen him.
He had them at our January one. Yeah. As with anything in wrestling, they got ripped off inevitably. He's a strange guy. Well, not a strange guy, but he's a unique character. He seems to kind of add and embellish his character every time he comes out. He does something new, so it's really interesting to watch. And I think him and Havoc's going to be great. It's quite a fun one. I know that match alone sold a few tickets, so got high hopes for that one.
Then we've got Charlie Morgan. She was nominated for our 2018 British Woman of the Year. She's against
brilliant.
Jetta, who unfortunately I haven't seen, but I've heard really good things about. Is there a storyline behind this match?
No, not so much. So Jetta was actually on our very first show, that arts event hybrid thing that we did in November 2017. Mm-hmm. And then she came back at the Rumble. And Charlie Morgan's making a debut, so it's really a kind of showcase of both of them. Jetta is a fabulous heel. We're hoping to do Jetta and Gene Money at some point.
Wow.
Further down the line, because I think that would be a bit of a treat. looking forward to seeing Charlie Morgan in a Resurgence ring, because we're big fans of her work. So that'd be another cool debut.
Yeah. Then you have a massive three-way tornado tag team match.
Yeah, we've got quite a few. We've got three matches with six people in.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting. Yeah. But the Henchmen are a team probably not that well known outside of some circles. But they've been on a bit of a tear with us. They're undefeated. Two huge guys, the Unit and the Tool Shed.
Wow.
Jim Diehard and Benton Destruction. So,
oh, brilliant names.
They're great. They kind of came to us as heels, and they've become a kind of, picked up a bit of a cult following and resurgence. So they're getting really good crowd reactions, and they've beaten everyone. So we thought we'd give them two teams to try and beat. And then in there, there's a debut as well, Rocky Mack and Moser. That's a new team.
Oh, I see.
So looking forward to seeing them.
Yeah, I've seen Moser a couple of times. So he's really good.
Yeah, he's good. We had him. We had Moser and Drew Parker at the January show. That was a good match.
Oh, brilliant. I'm a big fan of Drew Parker. And I think you just mentioned you got a huge six-woman tag team match. Street fight?
Yeah, that's the street fight, yeah. So that'll be another interesting one. Like I say, that's sort of been building now for a while. The two teams, they've had various different kind of tag matches and singles matches. And so far, Danaterium have come out on top. So Candy Floss and Shukara have recruited Sierra Loxton to join them.
Yeah, she's one of my favourites.
She was meant to debut. We've had a few. She had to pull out of two shows. So it's quite an anticipated debut, Sierra Loxton. So we've been trying to get her on a show since May last year.
Oh, wow.
So that'd be really exciting to have her there.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Jade, as I've mentioned, but you have got like six of the best workers in the UK currently, I think, in this one match.
Mm.
So then the last match I have on my list is a scramble tap match. What's that?
So this is an evolving concept. it should be fun. I think we've got some fun stuff planned for that one. It's a bit of a homage to the scramble that we did back in September, the Artcore match.
Yeah.
So it'd be, I'd expect some Spinal Tap references in there and all sorts of kind of shenanigans. So there's quite a few debuts in there as well. So OJMO, which is quite a cool debut for us. Like, looking forward to that. And Big Grizzly as well.
I like Big Grizzly.
Same. One of our team, Pete, his brother lives in Bristol, so we go down and watch Chaos quite a lot. So we've seen a bit of Big Grizzly.
Yeah.
Over the last year, he's always been really impressive. So.
Yeah, I've had Dave Mercy on a couple of times, the promoter of Chaos. I've got a couple of their DVDs, and I really enjoy their stuff. And I've got Deputy Dunn's mate. I can never pronounce his name. He's in that match. I really like him.
Los Federales Santos, Super Santos Junior.
Yeah. Never pronounce his name.
we had him and. We've had Deputy Dunn twice, wow. And we had them as a tag team as well. So, be good to have Santos back. He's a very good, enjoyable character. So,
yeah. So I'll put links to the tickets and info in the description for this Spinal Tap. So I've got one more question. If you could make a dream card for Wrestling Resurgence with one women's, one tag, and one main event, what matches would you choose?
For the women's, probably, I don't know, we'd want to have Session Moff Martina, because she's been on our list of people for a while.
Yes, yeah. She's somebody I haven't seen yet, and I want to see so much. I've seen her a lot. Yeah. I've seen her on TV, but I've never seen her live.
I've seen her live, but yeah, to have her in a resurgence ring would be pretty cool. And then maybe, so again, another, like, I'm not sure what kind of match it would be, but another one just off the list of people we'd want to work with. Kaylee Ray would be someone.
Wow, yeah.
It would be, yeah, so I reckon Session Moff and Kaylee Ray.
That'd be great match.
And then, tag match.
Tag match.
It's probably got to be... Well, I mean, this is me talking from my sort of Britress promotory sort of thing, but I'd love to do Henchman, of all people, against... Mustache Mountain.
Wow, yes.
Because Henchmen have got like a really rich history of working with like pretty much everyone you could imagine going back to like the early 2000s. And I've seen Henchmen matches on YouTube with like 15-year-old Chris Brooks and like 13-year-old Tyler Bate and stuff like that. So I think it'd be really cool to get like Henchmen back in the ring with like Mustache Man, or maybe like CCK or something like that.
Yeah,
and that'd be pretty cool.
That'd be a great triple threat if you.
Well, it's a dream card, isn't it? So yeah, triple threat. Those three teams.
Then your main event.
Main event. Probably like. Maybe Karanawa and. Who'd have Karanawa and. Maybe like Karanawa and Sabre Jr. or
wow.
Something like that. Like, because I just. Karanawa is like so good at the moment in this country. So I'd like to see him against someone like Karanawa, Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, Karanawa is another one I've only ever seen on YouTube I want to see live. But I'm really impressed with what I've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, he's on an absolute tear at the moment. The character and the persona draws a lot of people in, and the entrance and things like that. But underneath, like, he is a really, I think, a really unique wrestler. The way he moves, his kind of technical wrestling, his striking. I think I'd struggle to find someone that's better on the indie scene at the moment in the UK.
Yeah, so before we go, do you want to promote your social media?
On Twitter we are W_Resurgence, and the same on Instagram, and then on Facebook it's just Wrestling Resurgence, and I think it's on YouTube we're Wrestling Resurgence as well. And there's lots of free matches on the YouTube, so yeah, definitely look that up and subscribe, because there'll be lots more free matches coming.
Yeah, I put all the links in the description below this interview. So.
Brilliant.
So I've really enjoyed speaking today. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Yeah, definitely. And, I've enjoyed that.
Good luck with Spinal Graps.
Cheers.